Hi, you guys. Welcome back to the Uptown Rundown podcast. Today's episode is probably going to be a mess. My notes are like, I don't know, you guys. Like, my notes are so incomplete. Today's a this is like a busy week. But whatever. We're just going to do it anyway. We're going to just see what happens. Today is the last podcast before I take my hiatus. I'm very excited about that. Yeah, I don't really think, yeah, that's probably all I have to say before we get to the topics, I think. Yeah, let's just get right into it. So what should we talk about first? We have some interesting stories today. Let's start from least problem. I don't even know if this isn't the least problematic in the slightest bit, but let's talk about it anyway. So on The Breakfast Club, which is, you know, the talk show that sometimes I like it, sometimes I'm like, what is going on here? So they had this guy on there. They've had him on there a few times. And his name is Dr. Umar Johnson. And if you are in any way dialed into the whole, I don't even know how to describe it, the sort of like social justice as it relates to black people type of sphere on the internet, then you know who this guy is. This guy is, I don't even know how to describe him. Actually, I do know how to describe him. He's weird. He's really weird. Anyway, so let's just talk about why we're talking about him. So Dr. Umar, by the way, he's a doctor because he is, I guess he has a PhD. Yes, he has a PhD in clinical psychology, and he has worked as a school psychologist. He speaks up. What I like about him, there are some things I like about him, and there's many things that I do not like about him. So let's talk about what I do like about him. I do like how he speaks up. He has quite a platform. He's kind of known, I think. He talks a lot about black kids being sort of, being very quickly in public school settings, being quickly put into special ed. He talks about the tests that are administered to determine if a child should be put into special ed. And he has seen these tests and has compared them, you know, compared the test of black kids to the test of white kids. And it seems, according to him, it appears, and I believe him on this aspect, and according to him, it appears that there are far fewer reasons. What I'm trying to say is that if a black kid is put in special ed, it's really like, according to him, he thinks that half the time that they shouldn't be put in special ed. The criteria by which a child is put into special ed is sort of, it would appear that when it's a black child, that it's just like, oh yeah, just throw them in there. Like, for the most, For the tiniest things, it seems like that they'll put a black kid into special ed. The tiniest little bit of, you know, dysfunction, the tiniest little bit, they're very quick, according to him, very quick to put a black kid on ADHD medication. Very quick to put them on Ritalin, very quick to put them on Adderall, at quite a young age. And I don't doubt him. I don't doubt him at all on this aspect. We already know the school to prison pipeline does exist. We know that numerous judges have been accused of, well, actually, no, I can't think of that judge's name, and I can't even think of what state he was in, but we know that he got kickbacks, for literally sending black kids to jail for the littlest things, like for the tiniest things, then a black kid will get like such a hard sentence. We know that this happens. So it's like, and since we know it has happened, we know that it is continuing to happen today. So that's a thing that I like about Dr. Umar. Dr. Umar is quite an advocate when it comes to black kids. He uses his education He uses his credentials to sort of, you know what I mean? Because in the general space, like in the general talking space, people are like, well, do you have a degree? What did you study? And things like that. And he has studied this. Therefore, it is a little harder to refute some of the things he said. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's almost like, it's like during Corona, it's like you would think that people would listen to immunologists. It's because they have studied this. And then therefore, it should be quite difficult to refute what they are saying, considering the fact that they've probably studied this for 15, 20, 25, I mean, however long it takes to get through school, you know what I mean? So, thankfully, he has that he has those credentials where he's able to speak on this. And I think that's where it ends. I think that's where my liking for him is done with. I am not a fan of this man in any other aspect. So, let's talk about why I don't like Dr. Umar. So, he was on... Yeah, let's start with what he said on his most recent interview on The Breakfast Club. And this is probably the least problematic... Actually, I don't even know if this is the least problematic thing that he said. So on The Breakfast Club a week or two ago, he's talking about how he's wanting to start this charter school called... What is it called? I think it's called the Frederick Douglass School for Boys. It's supposed to be a middle school... I'm sorry, it's supposed to be a high school... As well as across the street, another building is going to be for elementary and middle school, called the Frederick Douglass Institute for Boys or something like that. By the way, he claims that he's a descendant of Frederick Douglass. I don't know if that's true or not, but whatever. We'll give it to him, I guess. So it's going to be a charter school. He wants to start this charter school. He's been talking about it incessantly for the past, like, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. He never shuts up about this school. At this point, it's a school that never was because it's still not finished. So he was on The Breakfast Club. He's been on in the past and was talking about, oh, I'm going to buy these buildings, these two buildings that are across the street from each other. These buildings are already built. They just need some structural work, according to him. He's quite shameless with his... fundraising, and I'm putting up air quotes because I don't even so he'll literally throw up his Cash App, be like, oh, send me a donation, and it's like, it's just so random to me. But anyway, the point is, he was on The Breakfast Club talking about a school. We'll get into charter schools and what I think about them a little bit later, but so I had a problem with Dr. Umar because he says that a reason why the schools are not completely finished yet. The schools are not finished. The schools are not open. And why is that? Well, because the buildings need to be, they need some work. And he says that he thinks that the work could be completely finished in a matter of 3 weeks. If all the black builders come and join him, if all the black welders come and join him in the area, if all the black, you know, stonemasons or whoever comes and volunteers their time. So he literally said that he can buy the materials, all he needs is the labor, and that the reason that the schools are not built is because black people aren't willing to donate their time for free. What? Says that? No, why don't you say that the schools aren't built because you can't afford it at the moment? Like, why don't you just say that? It's almost like victim, it's like repackaged, repurposed victim blaming. It's like, remember last week when I talked about Courtney Stodden and how she was 16 years old and for whatever reason married this 51-year-old? And clearly in that aspect, she's the victim. And yet, and still, that didn't stop all the publications and the press from portraying her as this, like, concubine, as this woman trying to sleep her way to the top. But, and again, she was a literal 16-year-old. That's, like, victim blaming. You know what I mean? I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that Dr. Umar is saying this. It's the same thing that, like, Candace Owens says. You know, she blames black people for their own misery. it's the reason why whenever anybody wants to talk about black people being killed by the police, they immediately go to, well, what about black on black crime? Because it's like, oh, well, you guys are killing each other, so who cares when other people do it? Like, that's what it is. It's repackaged, repurposed victim blaming. And it's just really creepy to me. So Dr. Umar says that since no one wants to volunteer and do the work for free, he says that he needs to raise another $300,000. That sounds like a lot. That sounds like a lot. Especially considering the fact that he himself says that these buildings are already built. 300,000? What's wrong with these buildings? That's what I want to know. I need to know what's wrong with these buildings that they need that much work. And then the thing is, why'd you buy these busted up buildings? Something's not right here. It doesn't make sense to me if you want to start a school, and you... Listen to this. Okay. Let me ask you guys a question. If you wanted to start a school, okay? You wanted to start your own charter school. Do you buy a building where you clearly know that it needs work and then not have the money to do said work? Does that make any sense? I just thought, like, that makes no sense. It's like, why not start a little smaller? You buy a smaller building. And, well, it's a little too late now, you know, like, I doubt he could sell off these buildings and get any kind of money back in order for him to buy, to then buy something else. So the deed's already been done. He's already screwed. I don't think he's going to open this school. Let's really be honest. He's not opening this school. Now, let's talk about some of the other things that Dr. Umar has said in the past that I think are problematic. Dr. Umar Johnson... Which, by the way, I'm pretty sure that's not even his real name. But anyway, that kind of just goes in, that kind of aligns itself perfectly with the fact that he is like, you know, so he's Muslim. And I've talked about these kinds of people before. I don't think he's Nation of Islam, but I think he's just Muslim. There's this group of people and where they're black, you know, like Americans, and they're Muslim. It's very strange to me because a lot of them, I've said this before, a lot of them change their names to Arab names. And I just find it strange when you're going around calling yourself Muhammad when that's not your name. You know, it's just weird to me. So he's one of those types of people. He's one of those people that wears like dashikis and wears like, he looks really crazy all the time. He's talking about, gender roles and this and that. Anyway, let's discuss. Let's talk about some of the weird stuff he said. So one of the things that he said on this most recent interview, on The Breakfast Club is, it's so weird. Again, back to the victim blaming. He says that black people have lost our natural will to build for ourselves due to slavery. What does that mean? I feel like he's trying to be very insightful and sort of, I don't even know what he's trying to do. I'm sorry. I don't know what he's trying to do. This makes no sense. So what he's saying is that because of slavery, so he's saying that before slavery, black people had a natural will to build, you know, build housing for ourselves, build like, you know, have infrastructure like hospitals, schools, healthcare, like to provide for ourselves. I know what he's trying to say. He's trying to say like the way that other communities are able to sustain themselves, for example, like Hasidic Jews, despite their small size relatively, they are able to have little enclaves and completely be isolated from society, from the rest of society. Things like that, like how you always have a Chinatown somewhere, you always have a little Italy somewhere. So that's what he's referring to. He's referring to the fact that other, and he said this before, that other ethnicities have their own little this, little that. But the thing is, he says that black people don't have that natural ability to do that anymore because of slavery. That's not something that I don't understand. Like, what? He thinks it got beaten out of us? Is that what he thinks? This is, again, victim blaming. Who says this? That's just a weird thing to say. I don't even know how to intellectualize this because it's so stupid. Another thing he said before is that you shouldn't marry another race. So he says that he is against interracial marriage. He says that Frederick Douglass, would have been the perfect, like, black ancestor if he didn't marry a white woman. What is wrong with you? Like, what is wrong? Wow. He says that you can't be pro-black if you yourself are black and are married to someone who is not. Weird. Just weird. I don't even know. He says that homosexuality is not natural for black people. But see, remember when I said that, Dr. Umar Johnson has credentials to speak on childhood psychology and psychological issues because he does have lots of experience in the field. He is a doctor of clinical psychology. And it's not that you need a degree to speak on issues, but this is clearly not something you should be speaking up on. Like, what are you talking about? It's not natural for black people to be gay. Like, it's not natural it's not natural to, like, in nature, people, like, mammals aren't wearing clothing either. So it's almost like, what exactly are you talking about? He said that we lost our natural ability to fend for ourselves. But what are you basing that off of? Are you basing that off of science? Is there a gene that we have lost through the generations that would have attributed fending for yourself? Like, do you guys know what I'm trying to say? Like, why are you saying this? None of this is really based in science. None of this is based in facts. None of this is based in really anything but figments of his imagination, honestly. He's just a big dummy. That's really it. He is just a dumb. He's wow. Just wow. I do think that something nefarious is going on with that school. Because again, why do you need all this money? You really need all this money to... No. I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. I think it's all for personal gain. I think he enjoys the fame. I mean, I don't know. He is on... I don't really know if he's on a lot of mainstream news networks, but, I mean, being on The Breakfast Club is kind of mainstream now, right? I mean, politicians go on The Breakfast Club, so it's like, why not you? Why not? If Joe Biden's gonna go on The Breakfast Club, why not Dr. Umar? You know what? Like, if he's on that, then so can you. So, let me get a water break, and then we'll move on to the next topic. So, let's talk about these Satan shoes. So, I told you guys that I was gonna follow this story. You remember the Satan shoes? So, Lil Nas X, a number of months ago, partnered up with this company called Mischief. They are based out of Brooklyn, and Mischief purchased a bunch of pairs of some Nike shoes. Don't ask me what, because I'm not a sneaker person. I shop at Burlington. So they bought a bunch of shoes and changed it up a little bit, changed the design, and used Lil Nas X as sort of like their, I don't know, like they partnered up, and he's like, you know, the celebrity that's attached to these shoes. Satan shoes, okay? So Nike was angry, and they said, you know, please cease and desist from all this. Nike, yeah, so they sued, right? And it's just the weirdest thing. So anyway, so what has happened as a result of this lawsuit? Well, Mischief says that they will issue a voluntary recall of all the Satan shoes, buying back the sneakers. No one's giving those sneakers back! What is this? This is hardly a solution to the quote-unquote problem, and I'll tell you why it's a quote-unquote problem in a minute. Like, no one's gonna give these shoes back. Like, because no one wants to give these shoes back. People want these shoes. So, Mischief made only 666 pairs of these shoes, the Satan shoes. They sold 665 pairs of these shoes in 1 minute online. In a minute, sold them. And then Lil Nas X gave out the last pair through some Twitter giveaway thing. I don't know. So, Nike also, Nike's crazy. So they said, so in their original complaint against Mischief, they said that they did not want the brand to distribute the shoes and that all pairs of the shoes should be sent to Nike for destruction. Meanwhile, Nike, you were too late because they already sold all the pairs. So the reason why I call it a quote-unquote problem is because there's really no problem. Because Nike does not have a problem with this. Honestly, they really don't. I said this in the last time that I talked about these Satan shoes, that in sneaker culture, I'm not a part of this culture in the slightest bit. Remember, I shop at TJ Maxx. So, it's very common for people to buy shoes, customize them, and then resell them. And these shoes are not cheap. Like, the shoes will be, you know, $2,000. The shoes will be $3,000. These shoes will be expensive. And there are stores, literal storefront stores, where, like, where these shoes, these stores will buy these custom shoes from, you know, random person from around the corner. Like, they will buy them and then resell them and, like, for crazy prices. But people buy them. People actually like this. Let me get some more water. People actually really like those kinds of shoes. They like the customization. I will never see any reason for this nonsense. Not in the slightest bit. It could never be me. But Nike doesn't do anything. Nike knows this happens because, hello, everyone knows that this is happening. And Nike does nothing. I talked about that in my last podcast about this subject, is that Nike did nothing when it came to light that one of their executives, that executive's son, was caught buying and selling thousands of sneakers and customizing them. Thousands! But they didn't care. But they did not care. Because, again, it's not really a problem for Nike. They just thought that they would be able to get a little bit of money. It's probably what it is. Nike wants to talk about, you know, doing things right. They want to say Black Lives Matter and pair up with Colin Kaepernick and, you know, but what about the slave labor you guys are using in China? What about the slave labor you guys are getting? Nike, stop it. I'm so glad that Nike didn't get any actual money from this, because it's all performative. It's all performative activism, and that's the only activism that you'll get from these companies, is performative activism. It's the only activism that you'll get from these celebrities, such as Ellen DeGeneres, because none of it really matters to them. Remember, when it comes to a business, all that matters is the profit. Like, come on. Like, we all know this, right? You all know this! So it's like, why do you guys fall for this mess where they claim to care? Let's move on. By the way, guys, this podcast is probably going to be a little bit shorter, because, again, I don't have much to talk about today. And today, I have, like, no time today. Let's talk about South Carolina really quick. Let's talk about a little bit of politics today. Don't have a lot in the land of politics today, because not much is exciting to me. By the way, just so you guys know, I only talk about the stuff that I find exciting. Like, you might think, like, oh, this political issue is so huge, and I'll find it boring. And I literally won't say a word on it. but I, yeah. So let's talk about something really weird. So South Carolina, first off, that they are celebrating Confederate Memorial Day. This is going to be a state holiday, and they are, you know, state offices will be closed. You know, I don't really have anything to say about this except just like, wow. And like, that's all I have to say is wow. Wow. Their governor, Henry McMaster, is psychotic, very clearly. Who celebrates a country that never was? Anyway, moving on from that, more from South Carolina. They are, so Henry McMaster, the governor, has signed a bill adding firing squad as an option for execution. Imagine that. Imagine it's 2021 and you're on death row and people are just going to shoot you until you die. What is that? You know what I should have looked up is when firing squads became illegal in the first place. So Henry McMaster has made South Carolina join the other three states that allow executions by firing squad. Yes, there are four states in this country where you can be killed by firing squad if you are on death row. So this isn't even a new thing. Some states are already doing this. You might be able to guess one of them. And it's Mississippi. Of course. So Mississippi, Utah, Oklahoma, and now South Carolina. Surprise, surprise. Henry McMaster has like last month, I think, signed some hot mess abortion law. Bill into law. I think it was after 8 weeks you can't have an abortion. Meanwhile, like 8 weeks isn't like that's when women normally find out that they're pregnant. So it's just like, okay, so you have no recourse. By the way, by outlawing abortion, you guys, abortions will still happen. They will still happen. They just will not be safe. They will not be done by professionals. So I want you to know that. Like, if you are in favor of these kinds of laws, just know that you are putting, like, you are in support of putting people in danger. Like, in grave danger. People die, you know? But it's like, so stupid. Anyway, so the reason for this, let's talk about why, right? Because you guys are probably like, well, why are they even allowing this? What about the lethal injection? Well, so South Carolina has not, so they have paused executions. Many states actually have, and the reason is, because they just simply, there's apparently a shortage in lethal injection drugs. Look, I guess. Who would have thought that in the United States, a country that's really good at killing people, can't find the drug to kill people? Like, who would have thought? Who would have thought? So apparently South Carolina hasn't had an actual execution since 2011. And it's been since then that these lethal injection drugs have been hard to find. But it's like, it takes 10 years? Does it take 10 years? Look. I don't even know. Apparently, it takes longer than 10 years to find these lethal injection drugs because we're resorting to being shot to death. Like, what is that about? And then I think I read somewhere that they're supposed to be bringing back the electric chair. What a mess! What a mess! Hold on, let me have some water. It's all an embarrassment. It's really embarrassing, and it really does sound like a third world country, right? Like, this is... Oh, goodness, it's the stuff you read in the history books. No comment. So let's talk about something that I think is fun. So the National Rifle Association, the NRA, they are in lots of trouble right now. So the NRA, you guys know what the NRA is. You always hear about them whenever a school shooting happens, whenever a shooting at a movie theater. A mass shooting. Whenever a mass shooting happens, you hear about the NRA, right? Because the NRA lobbies, and they do it quite well, they lobby for more lax gun regulation. let me say, the Democrats really need to learn a thing or two about the NIL. Like, they really could learn a thing or two from them. Excuse me, I just... And then, but the thing that they need to learn is that money talks. Money talks. Pay these people. Bruh. Look, I am not one for the deception and for the thievery and for the trickery. But the Democrats are going to just have to start resorting to getting a little bit lower. You know, the Republicans will stoop to any level. And it's like, I feel like the Democrats are always like, oh, you know, if you go low, we'll go high. But it's like, you guys need to just jump in the sewer right along with the Republicans. Honestly, that's what they need to do. You really need to do that because you're not going to get anything done. So let's talk about the NRA again. So the NRA, what they want to do, so they are incorporated in New York State. Which is kind of weird, because who incorporate... Anyway. So they are... Apparently, they're broke. They are now broke. And they want to... So they have filed bankruptcy. They have filed bankruptcy in the state of New York. What they want to do, their plan... So when you file bankruptcy... So they filed a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, which is a business bankruptcy. Okay, so that means that you, as a business, your business, you have to prove that you cannot pay your bills. It's this weird thing that I always hear when people are like, oh, so-and-so filed bankruptcy, and they're like, oh, it's just a legal thing. It's not just a legal thing. Like you have to be approved for that. Like, you can't just be like, oh, I can't pay my bill. Like, no, you have to show that you can't pay your bills. It is quite a process. Like, it can take up to a year to achieve bankruptcy status. And during that year, you still owe. You still owe. So it's like, stop saying that. It's just a bunch of dummies that really think that. Like, remember when 50 Cent filed bankruptcy? And everyone's like, oh, it's just legal. No, he was broke. If you are making, look, if you are making $5 million a year, but throughout the course of the year, your bills total $4,998,000, you don't have any money. You don't actually have anything. And with that, you might have cause to file for bankruptcy. That's what it is. It's not just like, oh, I can't afford my, like, I don't want to pay this. So, bankruptcy. No, that's not how it works. So that was my little bankruptcy lesson for you guys today. But anyway, so they wanted to file Chapter 11 bankruptcy, which they did in the state of New York. You file within the state that you are incorporated, because remember, Chapter 11 means you are a business. Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Only businesses can do that. So, Attorney General Letitia James in New York is like, no, you're not doing that today. She said, you guys are not going to file bankruptcy because what their goal is, which they've stated, which is kind of weird, that they want to close up shop in New York, have all their debts wiped clean, because that's what would typically happen in a successful Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They would have their debts wiped clean, and then what they want to do is reincorporate in the state of Texas. But Letitia James is like, it's not happening today. So she is bringing them to court. She is bringing them to court. A bankruptcy judge has said, no, you are not allowed to file bankruptcy until the lawsuit is finished. So what their plan was to avoid Letitia James' lawsuit. Because they know they're guilty. So what are they guilty of? Letitia James is accusing them of mismanagement, illegal conduct, a lot of things. I'm just going to talk about a few of them. But, so, yeah, let's talk about it. Let me read some of this mess. It is a mess. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4 executives that Letitia James, in her complaint, she outlines lots of things that each of these four executives have allegedly, quote unquote, participated in. Let's talk about some of them. So we have Executive Vice President Wayne LaPierre. He, according to Letitia James, she says that he has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars of the NRA's assets for private plane trips for himself and his family. They visited the Bahamas at least 8 times in an approximate 3-year period with his family at the cost of more than $500,000 to the NRA. So we're talking about embezzlement, right? Isn't that embezzlement where you're taking company money and using it for yourself? Why are you going to the Bahamas, Wayne? Why are you doing? So next, he has apparently, allegedly, he has spent millions on unwarranted travel consultants for decades, including the booking of luxury car services and spending more than $3.6 million in the last 2 years alone. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Let's talk about some of the other ones. The other ones aren't nearly as extensive. But let's talk about a few, just a few more weird ones where you're like, what's really going on here? So, let's see. So we have Joshua Powell, who is the former chief of staff and executive director of general operations. By the way, Letitia James says that in her, she says in her complaint that Wayne LaPierre is sort of like the ringleader of all the misconduct, and that these other three guys are sort of like underneath him, and they're like, yes, we will do anything you say. All this fraud, we're going to do all this fraud, and for doing so, we are going to get all these bonuses. For example, Joshua Powell, according to Letitia James's complaint, she says that after less than 1 year, Powell's salary increased to $650,000 a year. A little over 2 years into the job, Powell's salary more than tripled from the original $250,000 to $800,000. What she's alleging is that this is sort of like, okay, do this little fraud for me and keep quiet about it. And here's some salary increase so that you can shut up. Things are looking bad for the NRA. Things are looking real bad for the NRA. And I cannot be more pleased. Anytime you hear about a shooting somewhere, the NRA never has anything to say. They have nothing to say ever. They don't have anything to say until it's like, all right, now we have to say something. 2 months later, I'm going to get some water. It's just really a joke. I cannot wait for this lawsuit to run its course. I'm very excited. Now let's talk about one more thing, you guys. I'm talking about one more thing, and then I'm gonna get off of here because I got stuff to do, and my allergies today are acting crazy. So, oh, I wanted to talk. No, so. Let's talk about Demi Lovato. You wouldn't have thought that I was going to mention her name ever. So this girl's been in the news a lot. She's always in the press. And what it makes me, like she seems quite desperate to be mentioned all the time. Like, remember about a month ago when she was talking about walking into some, like, Froyo shop? And it said, like, diet this, diet that. And she said she was offended by it because it, like, triggered her eating disorder. Anyway, no comment on that. But, so what she did most recently is come out and say that she is non-binary. I don't think that this is a publicity stunt, honestly. I don't know why I don't think that. I feel like everything else is a stunt because she is a stunt queen. She'll do anything for attention. But I wanted to talk about the actor. I don't really have much to say about her being this. But I wanted to talk about the topic as a much broader spectrum. Because there's lots of anti-trans bills going around. Lots of anti-trans sentiment that lots of people have. And it's disgusting. Let me tell you guys something. And let me try to break it down for simpletons who don't really understand. Because it's not that hard to understand. It's just a matter of the fact that you don't care enough. Like, I think that's what it is. A lot of you don't care enough to understand when people say, like, there are X amount of genders, infinite amount of genders. And it's like, what it is, so when you're born, unless you're intersex, you are male or female, right? I'm going to give you guys a lesson right now. So when you are born, unless you're intersex, which is like 2% of the population of the world, you are typically born male or female, right? Right. Being called a man and being called a woman is arbitrary. It actually doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. The reason, so listen to this. So, deer, for example, a deer, like Bambi, you know what I mean? So, deer can be male and female too, right? Right. A male deer is called a buck. A female deer is called a doe, right? Those words are arbitrary. There's a thing where people are like, oh, it's man and woman. It's biology. Man and woman is not biology. The only reason why you're saying man and woman is biology is because you have no idea what you are talking about. You probably didn't even take a biology. Did you take a biology class? Like, did you take one? You probably didn't. And if you did, it was probably a very long time ago. So, man and woman is not biology. Male and female is biology. Why? Because when we're talking about male versus female, we are talking about sex hormones. That's what we are talking about. We are talking about the fact that as a male, whether you are a male human, a male deer, or a male dolphin, you... if you are a male mammal, then you produce testosterone in much larger quantities than you do estrogen. That's the main difference, okay? That is the difference. And again, if you are a female mammal, you produce estrogen. You produce milk when you have a baby. You can carry said baby. It is not... So, therefore, man and woman is arbitrary. It is not biology. It is just a name that we have put onto us. Doe and buck is very arbitrary. It could be called anything. A male deer doesn't have to be called a buck. People also call it a stag, depending on where you live. People call it a stag, people call it a buck, because, again, the words are arbitrary. Whether you call it a buck, whether you call it a stag, doesn't change the fact that it is a male. It doesn't change the fact that that thing produces testosterone. It doesn't change that fact. That's what the biology is. The biology is the fact that it produces testosterone. The biology is the fact that a female will get pregnant and carry a child for 10 months. That is what biology is. Woman has nothing to do with it. A woman, a female deer and a female human, they both produce milk. They both can get pregnant. But are you going to call yourself a doe? You're not going to call yourself a doe. You're going to call yourself a woman, right? Right. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? You are going to call yourself a woman. Why? Because despite the fact that you and that deer are both female, you're a human. Like, it's like you don't call yourself a doe because you just don't. You call yourself a woman because that's the word that we have attributed to female humans. The reason for all this confusion is because nobody takes biology, nobody takes science seriously. Like, if people take their religion into account when this is coming up. However, your religion goes, like, it literally is antithetical to science. I'll talk about that at a much later time. That's just something that I wanted to say really quick. I hope that illuminated a little bit. Listen, someone who is trans, they are biologically one thing, right? Right. No one is changing that fact. You can call yourself a female and be born with a penis. You can call yourself a woman and be born with a penis. Because remember, the fact that you produce testosterone is what biology is. We're talking about, yes, you are a male biologically, but gender is, it's a social construct. It's the same way race is a social construct. You know what I mean? It's like there are Latin people that are darker than me, that are way darker than me, but they don't consider themselves black. Because black is, it's just different. You know what I mean? And let's not even consider the fact that descendants of slaves, we really only call ourselves black is because there's no way of us knowing our original ethnicity. Someone that is white, that is arbitrary. Remember, back in the 40s, Italians and Irish people were not considered white. But English people were considered white. Despite the fact that Irish people generally have much whiter skin than anybody else, they weren't considered white. It is a social construct. The same way that gender is a social construct. I have nothing else to say about this topic. if you guys want to learn more, you guys are really just gonna have to pick up a book. Pick up a biology book. Honestly, man and woman is not biology. Remember, because you got a male deer, a male human, you both biologically do the same things with your sex hormones. But you can call yourself whatever you want. If you want to be a man, that's cool. We call that male deer a buck and a stag, depending on where you're from. So it's not like a stag is not different than a buck, is it? No, because it's referring to the same thing. Anyway, that's all I have to say in general for today. Yes, so like I said earlier, that there will be a hiatus. I want to come back with a lot of topics, lots of well-thought-out topics. I want to talk about Israel a lot. I cannot wait to discuss this. And there's just so many things that I want to talk about, but it's going to take time to really gather these thoughts and really gather them in a concise manner. And I want to take a break just because. Yeah, that's really all I have to say today. You know, something that I'm thinking of trying to do more of is I want to start this podcast really to illuminate how, because people say a lot like, oh, politics is hard to understand. Like, I don't even know where to start. Like I hear that all the time. The thing is, politics isn't as hard as you think. It's really not. These people, these politicians are no different than these celebrities because they're all desperate. They're all very desperate to cling to relevancy. And that's something that I want to highlight every week with all these topics. These people are desperate. It's like, you know how you think, when you think of the Kardashians, you think desperate, right? Like, you think that these people will do anything. These politicians will do and say anything. So, don't think that politics is that difficult to understand. So, in the interim, something that you guys should be looking out for, keep an eye on the Matt Gaetz trial. I know a trial is coming. He is going to be found guilty. His co-conspirator has pleaded guilty to many charges. I think that it's going to be a comedy show. Another thing to keep watch out for is the fact that all those Republicans decided, if you don't jump off the Trump train, we are going to make our own political party. I'm very curious to see how that will play out. And that's it. Yeah, so for the next, 10, 12 weeks, I'll be gone. But keep an eye out on those stories so that you can know exactly what I'm talking about when I come back. So thank you guys for listening to this podcast, and I'll see you guys in the next one.